fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm delighted to be able to introduce to you this morning Billy Kangas. Billy's a young man who's the founder of a new ministry, really, in the Catholic Church in the Diocese of Lansing called Cultivate. And we're going to hear Billy's story today and hopefully throughout the rest of the week because he's got a lot to share. Welcome, Billy.
Hey.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning, as they say. You know, tell us a little bit about your life, your background and faith, history and all that. So.
Sure. Well, I was raised here in Michigan in the Ann Arbor area. My family was not Catholic when I was growing up, but they were very faithful followers of Jesus. So my life started out with the scriptures in the home, with the gospel being proclaimed, with prayer and the Holy Spirit being an essential part of our daily life. I think from that young age, I got a pretty strong foundation in what it means to be a Christian person in the world, and that's still with me to this very day, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And so as you're growing up, what did it mean for you to be walking with the Lord? Like in your teenagers, what was life like then for you and living out the faith?
Sure. As with many people, I'm sure, going through kind of adolescence, teenage years, you start to evaluate the things that you learn, things that you were taught, life. And for me, a huge part of that development was exploring this faith that I had been handed by my parents, evaluating the scriptures, digging into these things and asking questions. Is this what I really believe? And in my own life, as I asked questions, I found that God was there, meeting me in the questions. That as I brought questions of theology, questions of scripture, questions of how to live my daily life, over and over, I found that the answer was in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I started to do ministry at that point. I had felt called from God in high school to do some work and started a Bible club and some men's groups at my school, which was here in Ann Arbor. I started going out and just wanting to proclaim the gospel to everybody I met. So sometimes this took the form of just sharing with my classmates. Sometimes I was out in the streets passing out Bible tracts or going door to door. Just started really digging into this thing, this faith. Because for me, at that point in my life, it became something very living and active. I started to read the scriptures for myself, to pray, to ask the Holy Spirit to be a guide. And after graduating from high school, I pretty quickly felt a call in my heart, God saying, hey, I've called you to serve my church. I've called you to be a minister of the gospel.
Can I ask you, before we leave the high school years, I'm intrigued by the fact, now you were like the catalyst and you initiated this stuff on your own. The Bible thing, maybe the going door to door and all that. I'm just curious because not too many high school guys do that, and kind of I want to understand the dynamics about that a little more. How
sure.
that happened?
Well, yeah, I'll back it up a little bit. In high school, I had a lot of friends that were kind of walking with me. I had been raised in the Word of God community, and a lot of the people in my life were similarly seeking after God. And so as we talked about, what are we going to do? Or, you know, I went to Huron High School, which is one of the Ann Arbor public schools, and we were asking, well, how are we going to reach our school? And, you know, people in our lives, mentors, encouraged us, hey, you know, you can actually establish kind of places of faith. So that we did that. We, you know, found some teachers who were believers and said, hey, would you sponsor a club? So we started a Bible club where we would meet, you know, after school a couple times a week, and we would pray every morning before classes started. So it was really that community of Christians, and as we built that community, more and more people joined the community of faith that was at our school, and we connected with some friends who were doing a similar thing over at Pioneer, and we got involved in a couple of different ministries. So I was involved with a youth outreach at the Word of God with something called Mission Christ. I had connected to a group called Ambassadors for Christ that was in part of the Lutheran church that I was a part of, which did kind of door-to-door evangelism. I had helped start a Young Life charter. So there's all these different ways. I just, at this point, you know, I said, I've got time. I just want to invest it in these parts of the faith. It was a huge part of my life. And in a certain sense, it took over a lot of my high school experience, this effort to proclaim the gospel in every context. Sometimes maybe borderline obsession, where I felt like if I'm not out there proclaiming at every moment, maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, I'm curious, how did the desire to proclaim the gospel, to be missionary, get internalized and incarnated in you in such a young age? Because that remains, I mean, as a Catholic, it's certainly on the books, and we're being constantly exhorted to do that. But it seems difficult for lots of Catholics to engage directly. And you seem to engage very directly at a very young age. And how did all that happen?
I guess when I started to ask questions of my faith, I said, you know, if this is true, it's the most important thing in the world. And I want my life to be of eternal consequence, of eternal significance. And it's not that my studies didn't matter or my, you know, the normal things that, and I, you know, had a normal teenage experience outside of this too, you know, struggling to figure out girls and struggling to figure out who I am and all these things. But at the core of it all, I was asking the question, like, what matters in life? And for me, I said, well, if this Jesus Christ was truly raised from the dead, if we truly have life in his name, that's the most important thing. Can't imagine anything else that my life could be about. So that was kind of the catalyst, the way I understood things and the thing I always moved back to. And I had experienced such a life, such a power in the community of faith and the scriptures, a consolation of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God that I couldn't imagine anything else, really.
Yeah. What did it feel like when knocking on the doors the first time? Well, I think some of our listeners wondering, man, I don't think I could ever do that, anything like that. So what was all that like?
The first few times of anything, it's always a challenging, a little bit scary. But I look back at kind of those times as super formative because I was a young person. And so people were pretty forgiving for me. Like, what is this, you know, 17-year-old doing at my door? Yeah. And like, I'm here to talk to you about your eternal destiny. And for the most part, people were kind, not generally super receptive, but were kind at least. And it actually helped me increase my confidence that, you know, I can engage with people about important issues. And that's stayed with me my whole life. This faith that, in spite of all the superficiality of the daily life, that we all are struggling with questions of who we are, what this world's about, and that if you care for somebody else, they are often willing and hungry even to engage with you about big questions, the metaphysical, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember any particular stories where people did receive you, you know, listen to you, and began to open their heart to what you had to say?
You know, I'm gonna say no, actually. My early years doing evangelism, I was, from a purely statistical perspective, a complete failure. Yeah. I didn't bring anyone to faith. You know, I talked about my faith a lot,
yeah,
to a lot of different people. But I think in the early stages, I didn't really know how to proclaim on the journey, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
It'll help you understand what you mean.
So I would say, hey, there's this guy, Jesus Christ, you need to believe in him and follow him. And I would almost pepper people with that and then just walk away, you know.
Oh, I see.
I didn't have a relationship as I knocked on the doors. Me and my friend Mark would go out on the diag and, like, step on milk crates and just yell at people as they went by.
So that's, that was at the center of campus, the diag, the center of the University of Michigan campus. By the library. It's kind of a place traditionally where different groups go and sell their wares or proclaim their message, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we do that at Eastern, we do that at U of M, we do that at other places. I do it at my high school. And I think there was something missing there, which was just people didn't know that I cared. They didn't know that I loved them. Mm-hmm. And even though I wasn't one of those proclaimers of hate or mm-hmm. anything, I was saying God loves you. But they didn't know love through me, and so oftentimes they didn't hear the message. So that's one thing I think I've learned a lot over the years. I don't often go out and do street evangelism in the same way or go door to door, but I keep with me a lot of the lessons I learned there mm-hmm. and have learned over the years how to better walk with people and yeah. better to be a presence of love as I proclaim what I believe.
Well said. I think sometimes there, in the Catholic Church, there's a struggle about even speaking, you know, like somehow, mm-hmm. for example, the phrase that everyone attributes to St. Francis of Assisi, you know, evangelize and if necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. A number of years ago that drove me nuts. I heard it so many times in so many places, and I love St. Francis, and it just seems so different than what he actually did. So I went to the Omnibus of Sources, the big, you know, official sources of the Franciscans, and read the whole thing. Couldn't find that expression anywhere in the omnibus. And then I called some scholars at Franciscan University of Steubenville. I said, hey, can you guys find this? Because people use it all the time. And it doesn't quite make sense in terms of his life. I mean, it's kind of a nice, there's a little teaching in it. And to be able to say, look, if you're gonna proclaim the word, you better walk the walk. You know, your life better be a message. Mm-hmm. And people can see and experience that, which will open them up to things that you have to say. But we have this constant exhortation, like Pope John Paul II said in his document on Ecclesia in America to the Church in America. He said, Church in America, you must rediscover how to speak the name of Jesus to people. And Pope Francis has done the same thing. And so you were sort of learning both sides of the equation as you're describing your experience, it seems to me.
Yeah, I think at first I learned, you know, that there is a truth and the truth is important. But then as I began to develop maybe more of a pastoral heart, I learned that truth is incarnational. Mm-hmm. We can't just say it as a philosophical truth and speak it to the winds and mm-hmm. expect people to be transformed. We have to follow the example of Christ, mm-hmm. who took on our very materiality, mm-hmm. joined us in solidarity in this world, touching our lives, our pains, and even our death, so that he might bring healing to these areas. Mm-hmm. And learning from that example has, I think, greatly increased the effectiveness of my witness as time has gone by.
Yeah, it's like part of it was just maturing as a man, as a person, mm-hmm. and understanding how human beings work and the cries of the human heart and being able to, how can I effectively reach it? But at the same time, I admire the courage of a young 17-year-old who wants to get out there and try something. And what have you taken from that experience of early in life learning how to just stand up and say what I believe?
You know, there's very few circumstances where I feel afraid. Mm-hmm. Because I know that God has carried me through, you know, times where I feel nervous, I feel anxious. And I know that in all of these things, because when I was there, I was a 17-year-old kid, and I would have these scholars of religion from University of Michigan come out and debate with me. And they knew a lot more at that point than I did. And I found that I was able to find truth in the midst of those conversations. And it really gave me faith. Do not worry about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Because the Lord will give you wisdom beyond, you know.
Yeah, that is part of the dimension, isn't it? There's more there than just the communication of information. The Lord backs the message. The mm-hmm. Holy Spirit helps and inspires us and gives us counsel for hearts disposed to him properly. But mm-hmm. man, this show went quickly. Thanks for being here, Billy. Can you join us again tomorrow?
I'd love to.
Friends, I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. We're going to continue to talk with Billy about his journey. Until then, God bless you and have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.